Masechet Berachot, Perek Het, Mishnah Bet. So this Mishnah is going to be dealing with a situation of impurity, a situation of Tum'ah, which connects to Netilat Yadayim. So just a basic, broad overview of how Tum'ah works. So something becomes impure. If something is impure, it's in contact with a corpse or something of that nature, it's considered to be an Av HaTum'ah, a source of Tum'ah on a De'oraita level. And on a De'oraita level, as that has contact with other things, it goes down a level. It becomes a rishon la tumah, a sheni la tumah, a shlishi la tumah, a first, a second, and third to tumah, separated from the avha tumah, from the original source of tumah. And as one item touches another, they make things impure on a limited basis. As we decrease from the source, from the avha tumah, we go down levels of what it could make impure. But on the Rabbanan level, the rabbis instituted that liquids, automatically, if they're in touch with any type of tum'ah, they become a rishon. So even if liquid is in touch with a shenila tum'ah, it doesn't only not remain a shenila tum'ah, but it goes up to the original level of a rishon la tum'ah. Not an avatum'ah, but the one removed, which is rishon la tum'ah. Hachamim also instituted that liquid can make a keli, can make a utensil, a sheni la tum'ah. Usually on a deoraita, on a Torah level, a keli can only become a rishon la tum'ah. And if it's anything separated from that, it can't become impure. Hachamim instituted that if liquid, which is impure, touches a keli, it can make it a sheni la tum'ah. They also, a third mention of a derabanan of the Hachamim with tum'ah, is they said that everybody's hands are automatically considered to be a sheni la tum'ah, a second removal from the av ha-tum'ah, midrabanan. Technically, on a Torah level, either your whole body is tameh or your whole body is not tameh. The rabbis instituted that your hands alone, not going to get into the specifics now of why, the hands alone are automatically considered to be a sheni la tum'ah, and therefore we have to do netilat yadayim. We have to do Netilat Yadayim because in order to make sure that people got in the good habits of doing Netilat Yadayim, so the Kohanim didn't make Tiruma impure by touching it. So therefore, everybody has to do Netilat Yadayim whenever they're eating bread. That's a basic overview of Tum'ah. So now to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Beit Shammai Omrim, Notlin LaYadayim Ve'ahar Kach Mozgin Etakos. Beit Shammai says, first a person washes his hands in Netilat Yadayim, then he pours himself the wine when he's having a meal. The logic of Beit Shammai is the following. He says that you can't drink wine by a meal and risk the liquid of the wine falling on your hand. Like we said earlier, hands are a sheni la tum'ah. They're a secondary removal of tum'ah. But if any liquid touches the hands make that liquid a rishon la tum'ah. It goes up in level midrabanan. And therefore, if you have wine that falls on someone's hands that are unwashed, which are sheni la tum'ah, and that liquid is touching the utensil, the keli, at the same time, the liquid will make the keli a sheni la tum'ah, and then you can't drink from that wine. Just one more time, what does that mean? If you're holding a cup that is, and your hands are not washed, your hands are now a sheni la tum'ah. If any wine falls on your hands, that wine, midrabanan, is now a rishon la tum'ah. And that wine, which is also touching the utensil, because you're holding with your hands the utensil, that wine now, that got impure from your hands, is making the utensil, the cup that you're holding, a sheni la tum'ah. And you can't drink from a sheni la tum'ah. So Beit Shammai would say, you have to really wash your hands in the tilat yadayim before you hold on to this cup, because we don't want to turn this cup into a sheni la tum'ah. Beit Hillel disagree. Beit Hillel omrim, mozgin et hakos ve'ahar kach notlin layadayim. Beit Hillel say, no, first you can pour the cup of wine, and afterwards you can wash netilat yadayim. They're not as nervous that some of the wine that you're pouring is going to splash onto your hands. Because they say, first of all, they disagree Bedin, in law, with Beit Shammai. Beit Hillel would say, okay, there's no major issue of drinking from a utensil that's a sheni la tum'ah. They don't go crazy over that law of not drinking from a sheni la tum'ah, number one. Secondly, they're more nervous that what's going to happen? The opposite. That if a person washes netilat yadayim, he's not going to dry his hands properly. So if he doesn't have his hands dried properly, and his hands are now wet, and he goes to hold on to a keli, a utensil. And we said, Beit Hillel is not as nervous of a person using a sheni latum'ah to drink from. So if he's having wet hands touch a sheni latum'ah glass, now the wetness, the liquid that's on his hands from netilat yadayim is going to impurify his own hands. It's going to make his hands now again a sheni latum'ah. And that defeats the whole purpose of netilat yadayim in the first place. So therefore, Beit Hillel would say, go pour your kos, go pour your wine. We're not as nervous that wine is going to fall over. It's no big deal to us. We're more nervous that if you do netilat yadayim beforehand, you're going to have wet hands, and those wet hands are going to impurify the entire process. Therefore, Beit Shammai would say, a person is obligated to first drink, and then he can do netilat yadayim afterwards to avoid this entire issue.